The Round Table on Crick Info Talk.
Every cricketer aspires to lead his country. To be captain of your national side is a rare honor that's bestowed on a select few people. Yet nowadays in modern cricket, captaincy has become a crown of thorns. The captain is no longer just the leader of men on the cricket field. He's expected to be some sort of magician who can deliver results consistently, who can stand up to media scrutiny, and even the unrealistic expectations of impassioned fans. It's little wonder then that Rahul Dravid has given up the captaincy after 2 years at the top. Looks like the pressure is so much these days that it can break even good men. He's gone on record to say that he's not really enjoying it as much as he did earlier. But we have a lot of questions today. What kind of man makes a good captain? What does it take to do the job consistently well? And to discuss the tough art of captaincy, I'm Anand Vasu, and I have with me Ian Chappell, widely acknowledged to be one of the finest captains the game has seen, and Sanjay Manjrekar, former India batsman, in this latest edition of Cricket Info Roundtable. The captain of a cricket team plays a far more influential role in the actual field of play than in many other team sports. Wouldn't you agree with that, Ian?
I've always said, and I don't think this will ever change, that only one man can run a cricket team, and that's the captain. For the simple reason that you've got to be out on the field to have a feel for what's going on and to be able to make the quick decisions and change directions, that if you're getting a message from off the field, then it's too late. It's something that you should have already realised out on the field. You know, when I hear so much talk about game plans these days, and a lot of it is a whole pile of rubbish, because you go out there with a game plan, sure, an overall plan. But those plans have got to change very quickly, and they change because a captain sees something or because he has a gut feeling. And there's two parts to it as far as I'm concerned. That's captaincy and leadership. Part of being a good captain is the leadership off the field, where you get to know your players. You get to know the ones who can cope with pressure better than others. That will influence your judgment and the decisions that you make on the field.
We know your views on the coach and his role quite well. We've heard them many times. I'd just like to bring Sanjay in here. In these days, when you have such high-profile coaches and very specialist support staff, how crucial is a captain to a cricket team, Sanjay?
Well, as crucial as ever been. And support staff, I think, actually describes their role also to the team. They're there for support. But the captain is the central figure, you know, the man who's responsible for the direction that the team needs to take, the team selections, and his realistic expectations from the team. All that has to be led by that figure, which is the cricket captain. But in some instances we've seen in international cricket, you know, if some cricketers have got the job not because they have been good captains or they have great leadership qualities, but they have just got it by default. Such captains then need a little more support from a coach. And if there is a good coach that the team has, then he plays more of a role and there is more support to the captain.
But what actually goes into making a good captain? You know, we've seen that the best players sometimes don't make the best captains. Somebody like Sachin Tendulkar or Ian Botham, they were average captains at best. And you look at it the other way around, someone like Mike Brearley, who was never really an outstanding player, was an outstanding captain. What really makes a great captain, Ian?
Well, I'd dispute Brearley being an outstanding captain. I mean, the one really good team that he came up against was Australia in 79-80, and they beat him 3-0 in three games. So, I wouldn't rank him quite as high as that. Picking someone to captain the side, this is why I believe the English system is wrong. I mean, it's hard enough to win a cricket match when you play 11 versus 11, but when you play 10 versus 11, as England virtually were doing in that series against Australia in 79-80, because Brearley wasn't good enough to hold his place, not against a good team like Australia. So you're handicapping a team immediately by playing 10 versus 11. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of different things go into making a good captain. He's got to basically be a strong personality. He's got to be very decisive. He needs to have a bit of luck. It always helps to have particularly good bowlers. If you've got a good bowling attack, then you're going to be a far better captain than someone who's got a mediocre bowling attack, because they're the guys who are going to win you the matches. There's two things I think that are crucial to captaincy. The first thing is to, once you realise that all the W's and all the L's, being the wins and the losses, are going to go against your name, then once you realise that, then immediately I think you're going to be a better captain because you're going to make the decisions for yourself. That doesn't mean that you make them on your own. You might get some input from your vice-captain, some of your senior players. But in the end, I've always described it as you are like a computer. Other people feed information in, but in the end, you're the one who's got to spit out the answer. A good knowledge of the game of cricket is definitely helpful. And to be a good judge of character is very important because you've not only got to judge the character of your own players, but also those of the opposition. And I think it also helps to have a very good memory. People talk about being captain in the video age, and all you got to do is go and look at a videotape, and you can tell how a guy bowls, how he bats. But I don't believe too much in that because that will be what you're watching on videotape will be the way he's playing against a specific bowler. For instance, if you're looking at a batsman. But that may not be the way that he plays against your bowlers, the bowlers that you've got, that you're in charge of. So most of it, in my opinion, comes down to, what you see and what you remember as a captain. So those are the sort of things that are crucial to being a good captain. I mean, it is often said that a team takes on the personality of the captain. And to me, there was no better example of that in Durban, in the Indian team, where, I've always looked at Dhoni, the little bit that I've seen of him, as a no-fear cricketer. And that's exactly how India played against Australia, and that's why India beat Australia, because they played without any fear.
Anand, just to also, address the issue that you raised of great batsmen not going, or great cricketers not going on to become good captains, I think one of the qualities, and that's why perhaps Tendulkar and Botham didn't become great captains, is you've got to be outward-looking as a person. You can actually pick out a cricketer who's got leadership qualities because that cricketer, once he finishes his own batting stint or bowling stint, is constantly looking at other players. He's got a keen eye to spot talent. Imran Khan, always had a view on cricketers around the world, their strengths and weaknesses. So that came naturally to him. Tendulkar didn't quite have the eye of looking around and spending enough time analyzing other players. He was a naturally great player himself who spent a lot of time on his own game. Not to say that he's a selfish cricketer, but perhaps that's how great batsmen are as well. It's just about them going out there, playing their game.
Now, that's interesting what both of you were saying, especially what Ian was saying about the personality of a captain sort of transferring itself onto a team. We've had two fairly different people as captains in the recent past in India. First, there was Sourav Ganguly and Rahul Dravid, and there is a fair bit of difference between the two personalities. And now you have someone like Dhoni, who's very, very different from Rahul Dravid, both in the way he plays his cricket and in the way he approaches a lot of things on and off the field. Would you like to share a bit more light on that, Sanjay, on the difference between players like this?
One of the points that's come up for discussion in recent times after Dravid gave up his captaincy is that Indian captains will have a short shelf life. I mean, there's no doubt that there is tremendous pressure on an Indian captain because of the kind of frenzy we have around the game. I would like to view that with skepticism. There was Sourav Ganguly before Dravid who just wanted to carry on as captain. Well, he never felt that, an Indian captain would have a short shelf life. Then there was Dravid, a certain personality who found the job a bit too difficult to handle. Perhaps a very sensitive man, a great role model, honest cricketer, hard-working cricketer. But as the leader of the Indian cricket team, he perhaps felt the pressure was too much. Now we see Mahendra Singh Dhoni, who I get the feeling is enjoying the role of leadership. And maybe he'll be able to absorb the pressures that come with being India captain a little better than Dravid. Still very early days for Dhoni, but whatever little I've seen, he seems to have the qualities that Ganguly had, of enjoying the leadership role. And I would also say this at this stage, that in fact he is a better role model as a cricketer than Sourav Ganguly was for the team.
Pressure, so much is talked about pressure and pressure on a captain, but there's a simple way to alleviate a lot of the pressure because much of it is placed on the person by themselves. And the simple way to overcome a lot of that problem is to set your own levels. set your own standards. If you set your standards, if you're meeting your standards, then you don't worry about what people are writing or saying. Now, you've got to be fairly thick-skinned sometimes to do that. You know, I mean, I've said a million times that I didn't need to pick up the paper in the morning to read that I'd had a bad day as captain. If I wasn't the first one to know that I'd had a bad day, then I was a dope and shouldn't have been captaining Australia. So that's a fairly simple way to overcome a lot of the pressures on a captain. Set your standards high. And if you meet your own standards, then you don't worry too much about what other people are saying.
Ian, there's something else I want to ask you at this stage, because there's a lot of people been analysing Dravid's decision to step down from the captaincy, and there's a few people who've suggested that he might have taken it with more with himself and interest rather than with Indian cricket's best interest at heart. Some people have even gone to the extent of calling it selfish. You've always said that you'd know when the time came to step down, either as captain or as a cricketer. What do you make of Dravid's decision and the timing of his decision?
Well, I'll tell you what I make of it, or what I make of some of those comments. Anybody who's saying he's made a selfish decision doesn't know what he's talking about. Retirement, whether it be as a captain or a player, is a selfish decision. You only make that with one person in mind. You're not trying to please the rest of the world with that decision. You're doing what you think is best for you. And Dravid obviously felt that he wasn't able to do the job to his own liking, so he retired from the captaincy. But, you know, to say it's a selfish decision to me is a stupid comment. Those people who are saying it's not in the best interest of Indian cricket, well, to them I would say, what, were the Indian selectors going to go on making Dravid captain of India if they didn't feel he was the right man for the job? They would have sacked him. Bang, you know, immediately. So, you know, that to me, that's a stupid comment. And, you know, he is, as Sanjay described, he's a very sensitive person, Rahul. And I think if he felt that he wasn't doing the right thing by himself and by India, and also if you put a lot into that job, it is, you know, it can wear you down pretty quickly. I think, you know, I wrote just a couple of weeks ago that I lasted 4 years as Australian captain, and I was completely done probably a bit before the end of those 4 years. But probably 4 years in Australian captaincy is probably about the equivalent of the 2 years that Dravid did in as a modern Indian captain. Everybody will have a different shelf life. You know, Sanjay is right in saying that Ganguly wanted to go on in the job, but I felt looking from outside that Ganguly had gone as far as he possibly could as an Indian captain. He wasn't going to add anything more to that Indian team, and in fact, you know, if I'd have been an Indian selector, he would have been gone as captain before he was eventually sacked, because I felt that his shelf life was on the basis of his usefulness to the Indian team. So everybody has a shelf life. It's a matter of whether they make the decision or the decision is made for them.
Well, especially with Rahul Dravid, the term selfish or the adjective selfish doesn't apply. You know, if you look at his service to Indian cricket over the years, there's been nothing selfish about it. He kept wickets in spite of, you know, hating that job for a good 1 year for Indian cricket. Then he also opened the innings on occasion when India struggled to find a good test opener. So he's taken all kinds of pressures and workload and has never been selfish in the way he's played his cricket. Maybe the timing of his decision may have just got India on the wrong foot. But as you can see, you know, with most things, you know, you think a bad event has happened, but there's always something good that comes out of it. And Dravid's, you know, captaincy coming to an end has got us Mahendra Singh Dhoni, who's showing all the promise of a good captain. And India doing well in this World 2020.
Well, Sanjay, something I'd like to come to you with now. There seems to be much more pressure on captains of subcontinental teams, at least off the field, than, say, a captain of Australia or England, simply because their cricket boards support their players better. It seems like at a lot of the time, especially in Australia, media is also a lot more understanding. Perhaps the fans are not quite as unreasonable as fans from the subcontinent. Why do you think this happens?
It's just the way we are. I think we are also maturing as cricket fans. The media, suddenly, you know, there is this explosion of media with 24-hour news channels, and there is an excitement all around. And cricket being the best selling commodity. Everybody's dedicating a lot of print space and air space to cricket coverage and trying to outdo each other. So a lot of the time the perspective is lost, a sense of balance is lost. And, you know, one of the grievances that Rahul Dravid had right through was there was absolutely no sense of proportion, you know, when India won and when India lost. And very often he also, when he was talking to press people and press conferences, he just could not see any sense of perspective in the way they were asking questions and way they were reacting to matches. So I have no doubt that we need to mature a little more. But I think the time has come. And I get the feeling that Mahendra Singh Dhoni would understand media a little better than perhaps Dravid, and is able to look at media and, you know, the reaction of the fans lightheartedly. And it's very important that the Indian cricket team, you know, keeps themselves insulated from, you know, what's happening in the outside circle, the cricket fans, the media pressure, and be aware of exactly how good the team is, where it needs to go, the strengths and weaknesses. And along with the team, you've got to have the chairman of selectors, you know, in that same kind of, in the same group, and the president of the BCCI. One of the problems that an Indian captain has is the BCCI, through its selectors, react to public pressure. They tend to take the populist decisions, and that doesn't help the cricket team at all. And I think that is the reason, you know, perhaps Dravid also felt the pressure that the BCCI, the administrators, also react to the popular vote.
Well, we've heard a lot about the politics and the infighting and even cliques forming within teams. Supposedly, this happening within subcontinental teams and Indian teams. In your experience, was there any of this? Did you see any of this in Australian teams?
The politics of Australian cricket really are mainly, as far as the states are concerned, and with selection. And that may not be as big a, well, not that it was ever a big problem, but you would get a little bit of ganging up on the selection panel where, it, you know, for instance, let's say you got a New South Wales and a Victorian selector, and it would be, you know, the New South Wales guy saying, well, look, I'll support you with Shane Warne, for instance, from Victoria, if you support me when I want to pick Mark Waugh. And I've picked a couple of pretty bad examples because they're both going to be picked by any reasonable selector. But that was really the politics of Australian selection. Australian cricket, I think, is reasonably free from politics. There'll always be some form of politics involved. But I guess the important thing with Australian cricket is that it doesn't get in the way. In other words, it doesn't get in the way to the point where you haven't got the best team going out on the field and you haven't got the best captain going out on the field. Apart from that short period where you had the split between World Series cricket and the Australian Cricket Board, most of the years that I've been either following cricket or playing or commentating on it, Australia has generally had the right guy at the top as far as a captain is concerned.
Well, so far we've spoken about what makes an ideal captain and the issues that captains face in the subcontinent. We'll be taking this discussion forward in the next part of Cricket Info Roundtable with both Ian Chappell and Sanjay Manjrekar. For now, it's me, Anand Vasu, signing off. Do join us again.
This is Cricket Info Talk.